Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome into the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider for audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. You can also find us on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire Radio, 900 and 1250 AM up in the Granite State, and streaming live on ESPNNewHampshireRadio.com. The Celtics defeat the Wizards 117-108 at the TD Garden. I am your host, Josue Pavone. I'll be joined by Jared Scali as we'll recap this win and what was another dominant performance by none other than the Celtics little guy, as Tommy Heinsohn loves to call him, the little guy, Isaiah Thomas, came up huge tonight for a Celtics team that entered the game with no Tyler Zeller, no Avery Bradley for the third straight game, no Amir Johnson, and no Jaylen Brown. Now, Jordan Mickey got the start over Johnson. I love seeing that. I would love to see more of that. I've been saying that he needs to get more reps in that front court because of what he's able to do for you on both ends of the floor. Still think the ceiling is very high for this kid. We'll talk about him later tonight. But I want to start off by talking about this fourth quarter and how imperative it is to keep Isaiah Thomas on the floor for the entire fourth quarter. It's something that we used to see by a man named Paul Pierce in the past. It's something that we see from younger superstars in the NBA or all-stars in the NBA, guys who are looking to push their team into becoming one of the top teams in the league, just like the Celtics. And that's something I would love to see more often from Brad Stevens. Now, Thomas scored a game-high 38 points, but IT in the fourth quarter is when he shined the most. He dropped 20 on the Wizards, and he did it in a fashion that I cannot even begin to say how much I love it, because he was the inside, he was going outside, he was dropping threes, he went 3 of 5 from deep, 7 of 12 total, and he was certainly the player of the game tonight with Floyd Mayweather in the crowd, nonetheless. Yeah. Hey, Jared, if you didn't know about what Isaiah Thomas was able to do in the fourth quarter, one would think that Mayweather was the reason that he was able to go off for 20 points in that fourth quarter. But that's not the case, right? I mean, IT,
no.
He can do this on the reg. He can do this on the daily, right? Especially at the Garden.
You see him do it a lot, especially at home. He feeds off the Garden crowd, man. And it was fun to see Floyd Mayweather in the crowd. And he did give Money Mayweather his jersey after the game, which was kind of cool to see, too.
Yeah, Mayweather looked like a fan out there after that jersey.
He looked like a little schoolgirl. He gave him, he's like, you better give me your jersey. That's, we're friends, right? I want your jersey. What are you doing?
It was like
if you
he
don't
was begging for it.
It really
right.
was.
It was like, a 10-year-old kid at the Garden begging for the jersey. Like, come on, IT, come on. And IT kind of like rolled his eyes, like, all right, here you go.
He's like, fine, here, take it. So my, it's not my only one.
Right. I didn't drop 52 tonight, so I guess you can. Okay.
I won't frame this one. look, we know what he can do in the fourth quarter offensively, right? We've seen it all season. Right. He's a magician in the fourth quarter. And I kind of agree with you in the sense of he should be able to stay out there all quarter, right? You know, great players make themselves in the fourth quarter. We saw it with Pierce all those years here, all those other greats around the league. But to go off of what you're saying, he's still a liability defensively, Josue, and that's the problem. And that's why they're forced to take him out in some situations. He uses so much energy throughout the game. I hate to go back to it, but because of his size, he uses so much energy throughout the course of the game, getting fouls, running up and down the floor. I don't know if he's ready to go for an entire fourth quarter, and I don't even know if he can handle being in there the entire fourth quarter between being tired, being using all that energy, and being a defensive liability.
Welcome into the Celtics postgame show again. Our opening segment is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business, and a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of your top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Now, find candidates from any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, Our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Jared, I get what you're saying, especially against a team like the Wizards that do have a very talented backcourt in John Wall and Bradley Beal. And believe it or not, it was actually Bradley Beal who was doing most of the scoring for the Wizards. He finished with the team high 35 points to go with his 4 assists. John Wall finished with only 9 points tonight. He was a little off today. He was invisible. Yeah, that's actually a better word for it. He was 4-21 from the floor. He did have managed to dish out 10 assists, grabbed 7 rebounds. But it was the other guys that were doing it for the Wizards, right? I mean, the Wizards hung around the entire, or I should say, up until Isaiah Thomas went off, in that fourth quarter. The Wizards stayed around because of their other guys in the starting lineup, right? Markieff Morris finished with 14. Otto Porter, the same guy who gave the Celtics a lot of trouble in Washington in their first meeting this season, he finished with 20 points. And Marcin Gortat had nearly a double-double with 10 points and 9 rebounds. So it wasn't just Bradley Beal for the Wizards, but they just couldn't handle Isaiah in the fourth quarter as he was able to go off and push this team to another win here. The Celtics improved to 24-15 on the season. They're 11-6 at home. I got to say, Jared, going into that fourth quarter, man, I wasn't confident in what the Celtics were going to be able to do in that fourth quarter because I felt like it was a live or die by the three type of game, and I didn't feel confident about it because I felt like the Wizards were sort of hanging around. They were feeling really confident about themselves. You had Bradley Beal sort of poised to go off in that fourth quarter, kind of reminding me of last night's game against the Toronto Raptors with DeMar DeRozan going off in that third quarter and carrying it on to the fourth. But Isaiah Thomas really, really stopped them in their tracks, and they were with what they were trying to do on defense. And I feel like it rolled over to their offense. They started to be the ones that were sort of jacking up threes and couldn't find answers on the offensive end while the Celtics were rolling behind Isaiah Thomas and what he was able to do.
Yeah, and from the beginning of the game, Josue, you knew it was going to be a battle and a shootout because of the way both teams started from behind the arc. And, of course, it was. You finished with 117 points if you're the Celtics. It's a high-scoring game for sure. But, look, after both teams coming off back-to-backs, and John Wall coming off his first career game winner ever in his career, which still shocked me when I heard that. Because I didn't realize that was the case. I heard that in the pregame after we got off air here for the ESPN New Hampshire pregame. And I was like, wait, he's never hit a game winner the years that he's been in this league? He's the number one on that team. But it goes to show they had Paul Pierce for a few years. But look, the way Bradley Beal was playing, I'm with you, Josue. I wasn't confident, especially the way last night turned out. I'll give the Celtics this. This was a big win for them because they could have done the same thing like last night. They could have easily rolled over, blew this game against a worse opponent, and fall back. And, if they lost this game, and then that game on Friday now against Atlanta would have been for the 3 seed. Because if you lose, then you're now the 4 seed in the East because of Atlanta. So it's a big win considering what happened last night. And last night was a really tough loss for this team. So it's good to see that this team wins, especially missing all those guys, Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown, Amir Johnson, forces Jordan Mickey to play. All the things pointing to a terrible, disappointing loss for the Celtics tonight. And just so to be honest, if they did lose this game, who could blame them with all the injuries on a night like this?
To a certain extent, I get what you're saying, Jared, but I feel like if you're playing against the Wizards, you still have to beat the Wizards because I think if you look at the stretch of the third quarter and how the Celtics were sort of keeping the Wizards at bay for much of that third quarter until the Wizards they just wouldn't go away. And I was really concerned because at one point, or I should say right before the fourth quarter start, you look at the box score and you're like, wait a minute. Okay, after three quarters, the Celtics are now 12 of 30 from deep. They're shooting 48.4% from the floor. They have 32 points in the paint. Okay, well, they're getting to the paint. They're scoring in the paint. Maybe they can carry on to that momentum. And then in the fourth quarter, they went 0 for 4 from deep. And then I just started thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute. Wait a second now. Are the Celtics going to try to shoot their way away from the Wizards? Are they going to try to shoot their way to a double-digit deficit the way they got out to in the first quarter? Because that set the tone, right? Right, Jared, in that first quarter? I mean, the Celtics got out, and it looked like right from the beginning it was going to be a shootout. And in some cases, you could say it was a shootout between both of these teams. Bradley Beal, 4-4 from deep for the Wizards. Crowder goes 4-4 from deep for the Celtics in that first quarter. The Celtics made 8 of 12 in the first quarter. 8 three-pointers in the first quarter. So it kind of worried me in a sense because I don't like the live or die by the three mentality. I just don't think that this team is built for that sort of offense.
No, it's definitely not. And look, the Celtics love to take their threes. They see it a lot. We've seen it throughout the year. They just like to huck threes. Isaiah Thomas is obviously great in transition, shooting the threes. I was sincerely worried coming into after that first quarter, the way the game was going. And look, the injuries happened. You know, you have to play through them. You have to deal with it. But it would have been a tough night. Now, that being said, as much as I hate to say this, if they did lose this game, I wouldn't have been horribly upset considering what happened last night. It wouldn't have been surprising. Okay, maybe I would have been a little upset. I might have went to the fetal position before we came on air.
You would have
like
been a little upset there after last night's loss.
I might have went into the fetal position for like half a second if they lost the game before we came on air. But that being said, I do think that there would have been at least a valid excuse for tonight if they did lose this game because of that. But that being said, huge credit to this team. Beginning of the game didn't look great with the barrage of threes that was going back and forth because, like you said, this team is not built for a shootout. This team is not built to keep up with the likes of a Golden State Warriors three-point shooting team or this Washington Wizards team who, just wait, not a lot of people give them enough credit for the talent they have on their roster because, you know, they do have John Wall. They have Bradley Beal. They have other guys on this roster. This team shouldn't be this bad, to be completely honest, in my opinion, looking up and down the roster. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a lack of chemistry. Maybe it's lack of depth across the roster, considering they don't have as much depth as the Celtics do across the board. But something's not right with the Wizards. So I'm glad they won because they should have won. But the Wizards, on paper, aren't as bad as they actually are record-wise.
The Celtics defeat the Wizards 117-1 away at TD Garden. To join the conversation, as we always encourage on this program, it's 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back to break down this game even further. We'll talk more about the outside shooting. We'll talk about what Jordan Mickey was able to provide in 14 minutes of playing time as he got the start for Amir Johnson. And we'll also talk about what this Celtics bench was able to do tonight as they were able to come through with 30 points. 30 points out of the bench. That's the second consecutive night where this bench has scored over 30 points. And we'll tell you who led the way throughout that Celtics stretch when the bench really stepped up, when the Celtics really needed it too. This is the Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio and ESPN New Hampshire. We'll be right back.
The first segment of today's Celtics post-game show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
Bang.
Welcome back into the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio and on ESPN New Hampshire, 900-1250 AM up in the Granite State. As Jarrett Scally and I, Josue Pavone, here to recap the Celtics' win over the Wizards, 117-108. As Isaiah Thomas once again proved why he is Mr. Fourth Quarter, as he scored 20 of his 38 points in those final 12 minutes. Jerry, what do you think about this whole IT, what do you call it, pointing at my watch, you know what time it is, motion that he's doing now in the fourth quarter. I'm starting to like it, man. At first, I thought it was a one-time thing, and now I'm like, the last time he did it, I was like, I don't know, IT, man, you're going to make this a thing? But tonight, it looked pretty damn good against the Wizards. I got to say so myself.
It's back up the Brinks time. It's back up the Brinks truck time.
In other words, that's what he means, right?
That's what he's calling for. He's calling for the it's delivery time, right? No, look, I love it because, you know, we as NBA fans, we love when our superstars that we watch have something like that to kind of just throw in the opponent's face. You know, Pierce in the Knicks, a great example when he did the airplane. It was great, you know, things like that. And now that IT really is starting to feel embraced by Celtics fans even more, he tries to hold back smiles when he hears MVP chants at the Garden taking free throws. You see it. He's smirked. Really, it's fun to watch. And as much as I still don't think that he's a number one on a championship team, he's fun to watch, and he can still be a piece here long-term if you make the right moves to build a team around him. As a number two, as a number three, whatever you think he is, I just don't think he can be the guy long-term, but I still love it, and I still think that he really has an identity in this league, I think, for the first time.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Jared. If the Celtics were to give this guy a max contract in July this summer, how would you feel about that?
I wouldn't hate it as long as it doesn't prevent them from getting someone who can be the guy. Now, if it's the max deal that keeps them here, that's fine. But I still want someone who can be a scorer and take over the game at the end if he can't. Now, I'm talking more toward the playoffs because you see it all the time. I bring it up every time the conversation happens. He just doesn't get the calls in the playoffs, and a lot of times that's what he banks on to be successful. Now, he hasn't done that as much lately, so maybe he's turning a corner with that, and maybe he's developing that part of his clutchness, if you want to call it that. But overall, I think that you still need someone who can score other than Isaiah Thomas. I don't want to give the ball to Al Horford at the end of the game. You know, I'd rather give it to Isaiah Thomas. Avery Bradley's a great player, but he's not that guy. So Celtics aren't done, obviously. I think this is the team throughout for the rest of the year. I don't think anything's going to happen at the trade deadline, but seeing IT kind of have this identity with the motion to his watch and what time it is, and it's becoming a thing. It's a well-known thing that he loves the pressure. Now I just want him to – I want to see him do it when the pressure's really on in the playoffs. Get me out of the round. Get me out of a second round. I want to see him do it for real.
Well, that's the next step, right, Jared? You got to get into the second round for the Celtics team. I mean, first step for Jared, or for Brad Stevens, I should say, the Brad Stevens era was making the playoffs. The season after that, okay, let's see if you can win a game in the playoffs. He won two. Okay, now let's see if he can win two more and get out of the first round. If you can get into the Eastern Conference Finals, even better, because now you're putting yourself on a pedestal. You're putting yourself up there with the likes of the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in most cases, you're going to go against, and it's a good chance this might happen, if the standings stay this way, the way they are now in the Eastern Conference, you're probably going to face that Toronto team in the second round. Are they ready to beat Toronto? The jury's still out. The Celtics still have a long way to go before they're able to say that they can compete against the Toronto Raptors in a seven-game series. But if you're able to meet them at that in that round, and you're able to give Isaiah Thomas more playoff experience, a taste of coming up big in those playoff games, then you may be able to say to yourself, okay, now Isaiah Thomas has more playoff miles on him. Now guys may want to play with this guy. I think they still want to play with this guy the way he is now. But right now, the sky's the limit for Isaiah Thomas and what he's going to be able to do in the playoffs or continue to do in these big moments, in these fourth quarters. Is Isaiah Thomas your number one on a championship team? Absolutely not. But what I can't stand to hear from some people or some Celtics fans is that they don't think that he can be a viable number two option on a championship team, because I do. I do believe that. And I think that what the Celtics need to do is tie him down this summer, make sure he signs, give him a max deal, make him the centerpiece of a big three. We're not sure who that third person is, but you know that you have Al Horford. You know that you have Isaiah Thomas. Danny Ainge did a brilliant move not too long ago by re-signing Jay Crowder. You have a defensive-minded wing who you have under contract for the next 2-3 years, so you don't have to worry about him walking away. You're building a strong core, hoping that they can bring in a big-name free agent, and I think that is still a possibility. In terms of them making a big trade or a big a franchise-changing move before the trade deadline, I just don't see that happening. I think Danny Ainge's options are very slim right now. Can you add a big man, a rim protector? You know, we got this conversation last night when we were recapping the Raptors game. Sure, I think that deal may be available for the Celtics. I think that's going to be another step in the right direction. But I don't think that you're going to be able to trade for Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins, who's getting ready to re-sign with the Kings for the rest of his life, it feels like. I mean, the guy's just not going anywhere.
Poor Sacramento.
Right. Like who is this imaginary superstar that people are envisioning are going to come to the Celtics via trade for a bunch of draft picks, and I hate to say it, but a group of role players, right? Because we're not going to see the Celtics deal Isaiah Thomas at this point or someone like Al Horford. I mean, you're going to deal solid role player guys, and you're not going to get a superstar in return. I just think those days are over. Those days of seeing a franchise trade Kevin Love and that same franchise trade Kevin Garnett almost 10 years ago. I think that's just those days they're done. Okay, teams are not doing that anymore because they haven't paid off on the other end, right?
No, yeah, I completely agree. Look, I think he can be a piece on a championship team. I know he took motivation. I just saw Jay King from Mass Live say Isaiah Thomas thanked Bleacher Report for ranking him number 11 in point guards in the NBA. Like, this guy is never going to get the credit he probably deserves, from me included. Honestly, I'm going to keep finding something because that's who I am. But look, I think that overall he can be a piece on a championship team. I would pay him, despite me not thinking he can be a number one. I would still pay him because you pay talent, and this guy is talented. Despite the height issue, despite everything else, if you bring someone else in, he's not responsible for everything, and that makes him even more dangerous because now he's not the primary ball handler, which makes him get even more opportunities, I think, because he's going to get better opportunities. So I don't know what they're going to do to add a third guy, Josue. You know, we touched on it here on ESPN New Hampshire for the pregame, me and Jeff Hickman did. Who's out there? You know, that's the big question. DeMarcus Cousins, not going to happen at this point. Jimmy Butler could be the option. Gordon Hayward could be a free agent option, but is he really the guy? No, you don't really get that much better adding Gordon Hayward. the name that we talked about really was Hassan Whiteside. And if you could swing that at all, because that would be, I think, a good deal where you might be able to not give up Jay Crowder or Avery Bradley and still swing a big man that you need.
Wait a minute, Jerry. You're talking about training for Hassan Whiteside. Are you telling me that you don't see up-and-coming, second coming of Hassan Whiteside and Jordan Mickey?
Okay.
You don't think Jordan Mickey has the potential to be a – I mean, he could have the same exact story as Whiteside, a D-League product blossoming in his – what is it going to be? His second – well, probably – let's just say for a hypothetical situation, let's say it's next year, right? In his third season, blossoms into a rim protector, a guy that Celtics could rely on that they didn't know they had. All of a sudden, boom, he's your starting center. He's your go-to guy in defensive situations. You don't see that in Jordan Mickey?
No, okay. I didn't preface it. I'm a very big Jordan Mickey fan. I've been supportive of him, and I've wanted him to play forever. So I'm very happy that he starts tonight. I'm sure we'll get to that. But I think that Jordan Mickey, right now, I'm sure the Heat would love to have him. They're tanking. They're rebuilding. Whiteside is a proven guy. He's young. Yes, he came from the Y. He barely came from the Y. He came from the park. Like, that guy can ball. That guy does everything that you need. And that's something that should definitely be explored.
I'm joking, by the way. I don't know if he's going to be the second coming of Hassan Whiteside. But I do think he's very talented, and I think he has a very high ceiling above him. I love seeing him out there tonight. I remember after the Thunder game, where the Celtics blew that one in Oklahoma City, and the biggest difference in that game was rebounding and inside presence and trying to slow down Russell Westbrook. I was saying to myself, why not give this guy some reps? Why not put him in there for, 7-8 minutes, just see what happens, see what he's able to absorb. And tonight we sort of got a taste of that against the Washington Wizards. In 14 minutes, he scored 4 points. He had 2 rebounds. He had one very, very loud block against Markieff Morris that really got the crowd going. I really like this kid. I would like to see him more often. I think he provides something that we don't see out of Tyler Zeller, or sometimes, we don't see the same intensity out of Amir Johnson. And I'm not trying to say that Amir Johnson is done, or that he's not going to, provide some inside defense, but I just feel like when you have someone like Jordan Mickey who can finish well around the hoop, I think he has great hands. I love his footwork on the defensive end. I think he's a great team defender. He knows how to double team guys when they're penetrating, and I think that's a big hole in the Celtics' defense. I think he's someone that I would just love to see get the same kind of minutes, or close to the same kind of minutes, as we've been seeing from Gerald Green in stretches. Now, of course, Gerald Green also had himself a good game tonight. He finished with 5 points. We had 6 points from Kelly Olynyk. Terry Rozier led the bench with 11 points. Jonas Jerebko he was the second leading scorer off the bench. He had 8. So I'm really liking what this bench is able to do. I have always been saying this entire season that this team has depth. And I think that when you see guys like all the names I just named, and you say to yourself, oh, wow, Jaylen Brown didn't play tonight. Amir Johnson was out. Tyler Zeller was out. These are guys that are able to come in and step up when they get the opportunity. And I would love to see this bench sort of find their role in sometime in the near future. And I know it's going to be hard right now with all these injuries, but it's going to be interesting to see. Real quick, Jerry, before I get your take on the bench, I have to say good night to everyone at ESPN New Hampshire. Thank you for tuning in to the Celtics postgame show. I have no idea why this Celtics game was at 8 o'clock. They didn't play on ESPN, so I don't understand why. Otherwise, we would have had more time here, but we're up against it here. So good night, ESPN. Join us, of course, online, where you can keep listening to the show. Check us out on CLNS Radio, as always, on clnsradio.com, where you can continue listening and continue streaming this program. So, Jared, what's your take from this bench, and how deep is it in comparison to the other top teams in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I'd say it is pretty deep compared to the other teams, because, honestly, Josue, and it's come up a lot, too, your whole team is role players for the most part, right? So you're really deep in that sense. I think that now a lot of teams' benches don't stack up with the Celtics bench. I think that's what Danny Ainge right now has prided this rebuild on, is building up the assets, right? Everyone around the league knows that he has assets. He has people want. So now it's a matter of people know he has to deal them. Look, I don't think anyone's going to be crawling and healing out Danny's phone for Jonas Jerebko anytime soon. But I think he's a great piece to on a deep bench for a championship team. I like Jonas Jerebko. I would rather him shoot the ball than most people, because I trust him behind the arc. I trust him more than, honestly, Tyler Zeller. I trust him more than Kelly Olynyk. I like him, and I think he's a good player. Now, in the Eastern Conference, I would rank them a top bench. I mean, they're the 3 seed for a reason. They're a good team. But it's not as much they're missing the bench, they're missing that piece. But I don't know what you think about where you stack their bench, Josue, but it's pretty high for me for across the league.
It's pretty high, and night in and night out, sometimes I feel like the biggest problem is that people don't have their defined roles. But sometimes it's almost a good problem to have, because you sort of, you know, if you're the opposition, you don't know who that guy is going to be night in and night out. You know, some nights it's been Gerald Green. You know, last night he was certainly a big guy for the Celtics off the bench. Tonight it was Terry Rozier. Another night you'll see Jaylen Brown come out of nowhere. So it's tough to say, or it's tough to rely on certain players night in and night out, whereas other teams, that's not the case. You know, people have their roles defined. They come into the game knowing that, okay, this guy is going to probably lead the bench in scoring. This guy is going to have plenty of rebounds off the bench. He's their big rebounder off the bench. You know, the Celtics don't really have those roles set out for this bench, but the depth is always there night in and night out. You know, you just don't know who those guys are going to be. And even when the team is going through injuries and like they are right now and they're wearing a little thin, you still see guys step up. I love seeing Rozier step up the way he has, because I think he's able to get to the hoop. He's able to also knock down big threes. He knocked down a big one in the fourth quarter. He's not afraid of the big moments. Same thing could be said about Jonas Jerebko. Same thing could be said about Gerald Green. I think Kelly Olynyk is starting to play better defense down low, which I think is going to be big for the Celtics. A little bit, Jared. I mean, come on. Give him, cut him some slack here. I mean, he's clogging the lane at least. It's just sometimes
he's just so
committing
slow.
A lot of fouls.
And just, yeah, I, you know, I don't like Kelly Olynyk, though. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a big Kelly guy either, but I'm just trying to give him some props here because he's able to provide somewhat of a defensive presence down low as he tried to do last night. And tonight he sort of tried to do the same. But, yeah, he finished with 6 points. 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, those 6 points, 7 points from here and there from guys like Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko, I mean, they matter, I feel like, for the Celtics team, because when their stars are on the bench, they need certain guys to sustain a lead or you know, sustain a certain deficit depending on who they're playing against before Isaiah Thomas can come in and clean things up in the fourth quarter. Like I said, I would love to see Isaiah Thomas play maybe not the whole fourth quarter, but at least 10 minutes every single fourth quarter, night in and night out.
Yeah, no, I would too. And I think that the depth, the bench depth is what won you tonight's game, right? Obviously, Isaiah Thomas had 38 points and all that. But if it wasn't for your depth, Josue, then those injuries do hurt you. You know, because, look, you lost Avery Bradley. You didn't have Jaylen Brown for the first time all season. That could have hurt you. Terry Rozier, like you said, stepped up big time. And, you know, he went through that slump. He was playing a lot earlier in the year, and they went away from him because he wasn't playing well. But I give Terry Rozier a lot of credit because I think a lot of people in this town, I know Terry Rozier feels this way, a lot of people think that Terry Rozier is better than Marcus Smart, right? A lot of people aren't on the Marcus Smart bandwagon, but he hasn't
really.
But
a lot of them are, though. A lot of them are. You'd be surprised. You know, remember when Avery Bradley was out the first time, people were talking about, when Isaiah Thomas was out for a little bit, people were talking about, hey, why not give the keys to Marcus Smart, let him drive the team. And then Isaiah Thomas came back and dropped 52 in one night, and all those talks were gone. But it was there, though. It was there before he did what he did.
It's because he's starting to play better. But, like, early in the year, everyone wanted Marcus Smart traded. No one knew what he was doing. I was one of the few who supported him. Terry Rozier has been fine through all of this. You know, he understands his role on this team, which is huge. And every time Terry Rozier seems to come in, he still provides that spark. And I think Terry Rozier, and I talked about this before the season too, he's a key factor to what this team needs to do in the playoffs. I think he's going to be a big factor come the playoffs. I think he's going to be a big factor down the stretch because I think they're going to need some extra minutes from him. I know from other guys, and he's going to be one of those guys that I think is going to be a big factor down the road. So it's nice to see him get meaningful minutes this time of year as the calendar turns. We're moving closer to the trade deadline. It's good to see what you have from all these guys as Danny's talk, thinking about trading pieces, things like that.
347-215-7771 is the number to join the conversation. That's 347-215-7771. Jared and I have one more segment. We're going to come back and wrap things up here. The Celtics defeat the Wizards 117-108. But coming up next, I know the DeMarcus Cousins fans out there are very heartbroken today as the news dropped that the Sacramento Kings will re-sign him right away. They're in the middle of completing a contract extension to keep him in Sacramento. But I have another superstar that I think that can help this other team now. You may have to wait a little bit, but I think if he's able to come to the Celtics, I think the Celtics are right there with Cleveland. If not, they're going to the NBA Finals. I'll tell you who that guy is right after this quick break. This is the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider for audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
Welcome back into the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio. Recapping the Celtics win, 117-108. But like I teased right before the break, I got to say, sorry about that. Took a quick break there. Took longer than I expected. Before I got into who I would love to see the Celtics bring in, he's a guy I think that is not quite Kevin Durant, but he's probably the closest thing you're going to get. Jared, you guessed it. Jared and I have a conversation here going on Skype here. Paul George. I think that's if I'm Danny Ainge, I think that's plan B. You struck out on Kevin Durant, and everyone's wondering, what's plan B? Okay, well, maybe it's DeMarcus Cousins. Okay. Maybe they can put a package deal together. Maybe he'll, I don't know, punch a news reporter, which almost happened, by the way. Maybe he'll punch a news reporter and he'll get himself out of Sacramento that way. Oh, yeah, they'll be forced to trade him. I mean, that was, in my opinion, Jared, that was the only way that Sacramento was going to let this guy go because they were so adamant in keeping this guy. And I can't blame them. You know, this is a Sacramento team that they almost lost their team, right? They almost left Sacramento.
Yep.
They don't want to go backwards. this guy is selling tickets, especially if he's doing things like that. I mean, guys are going to come to see DeMarcus Cousins play.
Well, it's an MMA fight.
One of the most dominant
venues. Of course people are going to go.
Exactly. Like, you don't know what this guy's going to do. I mean, this guy got ejected from a game and came back. I've never seen that in my life. I mean, who does that? I mean, it was like a WWE event or something. You know, he got ejected, got a second technical foul, came back into the game and finished it against Portland, what was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, this guy is just must-see TV. So I just don't think, even if the Sacramento Kings are terrible for the next 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to hold on tight to DeMarcus Cousins because he sells tickets, he's their superstar, and they're not going to go backwards. They're not going to take a first-round pick, even if it is the first overall pick, that Brooklyn pick this summer. They're not going to take that and a handful of guys just to let this guy go. So say goodnight to your DeMarcus Cousins hopes, all you DeMarcus Cousins fans out there, because today
goodnight,
was
DeMarcus.
A bombshell. Goodnight, DeMarcus, right? Okay, so who else is out there? Anthony Davis, yeah, he's still under contract, and he is amazing. So New Orleans is going to hold on to him. I'll see you later. But what about Paul George, right? Because going into the season, Paul George crossed my mind, but I was thinking to myself, I don't know. I mean, the Pacers, they're putting together a pretty good team. They went out, they got Jeff Teague. They went out, they got Thaddeus Young. They went out, they got Al Jefferson. And, of course, Al Jefferson, he's got some miles on him, but this is an Al Jefferson that's going to be asked to be, what, the fifth option on that team? Fifth or sixth option? The guy's coming off the bench, in other words, right? So that's like, okay, that's a pretty strong core. You have Miles Turner, who's turning into a future all-star in this league. I love Miles Turner. Love his game. But for some reason, the Pacers just haven't been able to put it together. And I know some people may say that, hey, it's still early, you know, it hasn't even been, you know, most teams haven't even played 40 games yet. Some teams are getting closer to that plateau. But the Pacers, I mean, they're in fifth, which in the grand scheme of things isn't horrible. But in the Eastern Conference, I mean, if you lose 2 or 3 games, you could be in 10th. You know, I mean, that's how tight it is. I just looked at this Pacers team on paper as a team that would be knocking on Toronto's door while the Celtics are trying to compete against them. Certainly not the case, right? I mean, they're 20-18, but they just haven't been looking great, right? They're very inconsistent this year. And I just feel like if they continue to go down that road, that maybe, just maybe, if the Celtics can succeed and get out of the first round and show someone like Paul George that, look, if you join us, we can take down Cleveland. We can go to the NBA Finals if you sign with us, because it's not going to happen via trade. Larry Bird is not going to trade to the Celtics. That would be the worst PR move ever if Larry Bird traded his superstar to the Boston Celtics. So that's not going to happen. But I think,
I mean, Kevin McHale traded us Kevin Garnett, so.
Right, but this is before Kevin McHale traded Kevin Garnett to the Celtics, right? I mean, you can't make a move like that after Kevin McHale, after your boy did it 10 years ago and it didn't pay off at all for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, not one bit. There wasn't one piece of that trade that stuck long enough to mean anything for that franchise, right? So he can't do that again. And honestly, I just think Larry Bird is he's too competitive to do something like that, right? He's not gonna trade a superstar to the Celtics and be, you know, ripped apart by Indiana's media after making such a move. But be a free agency, I think it's a possibility. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. I think that's his plan B. Jerry, what are your thoughts?
I wouldn't hate it, obviously. I mean, I would take if you're giving me all the options we've listed, or Paul George, I'm going to take Paul George if you're not getting Kevin Durant. He really, I mean, if you think about it, he is a poor man's Kevin Durant. Now, one guy I wouldn't hate either, but I don't see it happening because Isaiah Thomas is here. I really would love to pull Russell Westbrook out of Oklahoma City.
He's Mr. Thunder now. He's Mr. Thunder. He's committed. He's just – he loves that city, I think, and I think what happened with the Kevin Durant situation motivated him even more. But, no, I do love – obviously, I love Russell Westbrook's game, and I think he'd be great, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't –
go
ahead. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's leaving, because I think the way he would have been out is if Durant stayed. One or the other, and Durant left. So I don't think there's any need for Westbrook to leave. He just needs help now because the team's not that great. But that being said, I would love to see Paul George in a Celtics uniform. I don't know if I'm patient enough to wait for Paul George to be in a Celtics uniform. When is he unrestricted? When he's 28, something like that? What year is 2019? So
18.
I don't know. Is it 18?
Well, no, they have an option. He has the player option. So he could opt out next, not this summer, but next summer.
Okay. So even that, I mean, if you can pull someone out, and then maybe that's the case where maybe you pull Gordon Hayward in and see. I don't know, but Gordon Hayward's a max level deal. Is Plan B worth waiting for it? And if that's the case, what do you do with the draft pick? Do you trade it for someone like a Nerlens Noel, or do you draft if you're going after Paul George?
I say you hold it. I really do. I mean, you look at what Jaylen Brown could be potentially in a couple of years. You still have another potential top three pick. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets aren't looking any better right now. And if you're able to turn that into a number two or even number three again, which, you know, with the luck of the Celtics, I just don't see them getting number one. I don't care if Brooklyn loses the rest of their games. I mean, it's just something about those lottery balls that just they don't balance in the Celtics' favor. So,
yeah, you know, if they traded the Brooklyn pick, then it would be the number one pick.
Yeah, exactly. Because, right. Exactly. I mean, I swear, so, the NBA, man, I don't want to get into the conversation if that whole thing is rigged or not, but, like, come on. I mean, you see what happened with Cleveland? It's like, come on, NBA, throw the Celtics a bone here. Give them a number one pick. Cry out loud. It's been over 20 years, but go on.
Oh, it's been awful. It's been awful. Yeah. Jeff Hickman brought that up here on the pregame, and it was so funny because we were talking about it, and I was just like, I want him to make that pick, but at the same time, how can you? But now, if Paul George is the plan, you wait. But, like, that's also a huge risk, because then if you say you draft with this pick then, and then you don't get Paul George, that's another pick, another asset gone, and you might now have a player that other teams don't want as much as you, because clearly your team values players a lot weirder than others do, because no one thought Jaylen Brown was going as early as he did, and the Celtics took him. So now they have to figure out, okay, is it worth the risk, and are they prepared to take another big hit if they don't get Paul George as a free agent?
Well, the reason I bring him up, because not only because he's very talented, but I just feel like Danny Ainge right now, he's going for the big fish, all right? He's not trying to, you know, build his team to a championship level through the draft. He's not trying to wait and see when everyone blossoms into who they're going to be and then start seeing them walk away because they're going to start demanding more money. I mean, this window that Danny Ainge has created for himself, it's quickly starting to close. And honestly, if you ask me, it starts with his three guards. So it's Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, and Marcus Smart. Now, we both agree that I think they need to lock in Isaiah this summer, make sure he's not going anywhere, but then he has to make a decision between Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. And whichever person he picks, that other guy has to be in some sort of deal where he's able to get something out of his contract, because you don't want to see someone like that walk away. And you know how valuable, or maybe not so valuable compared to what he thinks of Marcus Smart or what he thinks of Avery Bradley, you know, maybe that's the problem with Danny Ainge right now. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Because some people say that. Some people say that maybe he's just overvaluing these guys. And maybe he's seen plenty of deals that some of us would say yes to in a heartbeat. Or maybe he hasn't. You know, time will tell. But I feel like in the next year or so, he needs to make that decision, because he's not going to sign all three of these guys. Because if he did sign all three of those guys, you could say goodbye to the big fish. You're not going to get someone like Paul George or someone else of his caliber when you have those guys if you re-sign all three of those guys. It's just not going to happen. Even if you still have Jay Crowder signed through 2020.
No, it's not. And the big fish is what he's clearly going after, right? And you know that he's making calls. You know teams know he's desperate. Again, I would love to have Whiteside on this team if that's something that could happen in Miami. See, the thing is, that I think that
still, huh? I thought the Paul George back and forth was sort of make you forget about Whiteside a bit, but still.
Okay. I love Paul George, okay. But like if you look at Whiteside, it's a value trade to not have to get rid of Jay Crowder or Avery Bradley, in my opinion. Because if you go after Whiteside, you could probably give – Miami's going to want both Brooklyn picks. But if you do both Brooklyn picks and say, like, Jaylen Brown and maybe Marcus Smart if they want more, then you're trading away the youth, but you're also keeping Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder. And now you have Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder still with Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, Hassan Whiteside, and then maybe you sign Gordon Hayward. So – that could also be a route they go. It's a poor man's version of Paul George, but it's also an alternative that they have to consider.
We'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens before this trade deadline. Because I still think Danny Ainge may make a deal. It's not going to, you know, make everyone jump up and down. And of course, whatever he does, honestly, I feel like it's going to be criticized because he's set the bar so high with the whole Kevin Durant thing and with signing Al Horford that any move he makes is going to be like overanalyzed to death. And if it's not a big superstar, like someone like Paul George, they're going to criticize the hell out of him, whatever he does end up doing. Or they're going to criticize him for not doing anything and not bringing in those big fish or that big franchise-changing player that everyone is just drooling over, i.e. Gordon Hayward. I mean, he's not a big fish. I mean, I just don't understand why everyone or guys at the game that night were cheering for him. I honestly thought that some of those cheers were sarcastic. Maybe they were. Maybe they weren't. Maybe people really do want to see Gordon Hayward in Celtics uniform, but I, for one, just don't think he's someone that's going to put them over the top and put them in a game seven matchup of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers. I just don't think he's that guy, honestly. No.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are in a weird spot because they're kind of rebuilding on the fly, right? So they didn't tear it completely down because they didn't have to. Like, if you look at the Lakers, right? The Lakers tore it down big time, and they had to, and they finally can do something because Kobe's money's off the books. They have young guys, a young core that is great in L.A. I hate to give them credit for doing anything right, but the Lakers have a good core for a long time now. They got Ingram, they have Randall, they have Russell. Those three guys could be a Laker in a Lakers uniform for a very long time, and they could still potentially be together when they win their next championship because we know that's coming at some point. That's what's concerning to me is who would you rather be, Josue? You know, the Celtics kind of scrambling through. You know, they have IT. It's fun to watch. They're winning games. But how much closer are they to a championship than the Lakers? You know, because, yeah, we're one piece away, but – is it faster for us to get that one superstar piece in this league where they're kind of hard to find? Or are you better off being the Lakers, having three young guys who can build together and push eventually in this league? The young kids don't win in this league, but, you know, if you're patient enough, that'll pan out.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the youth of the Celtics is very closer to the ceiling in comparison to teams like, I don't know, Philadelphia or the Lakers, right? I mean, Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, what they're doing this year is probably the best you're going to get out of them. You know, for how many years, we don't know, but we don't have those type of guys that you can say, oh, he's going to be an all-star in a few years. Other than Jaylen Brown, jury's still out on that. Even Marcus Smart is sort of in that middle phase where we're sort of starting to say to ourselves, maybe Marcus Smart is just going to be an everyday player. You know, maybe he's going to be a solid, you know, starter in the future, but is he going to be a perennial all-star? Maybe, maybe not. You know, those conversations are starting to happen now, whereas teams like the Lakers and Philadelphia 76ers have two, three guys that they still don't know if they could be perennial all-stars in the future. So they have to wait and see. I hear what you're saying, Jerry. That's a good point. But we'll see what happens. Real quick, Jerry, before we get out of here, what's your take on these rental situations or rental options and someone like Greg Monroe or someone like Paul Millsap? What do you think about that? And I call them rentals because I really don't realistically see the Celtics signing these guys in the offseason.
It's not worth it. Because if you're renting or if you're buying, if you're trading, making a trade like that, you're probably contending for a title, right? Those are the moves you make when you're one smaller piece away from a championship.
This you don't make that move when you want a date with the Cavaliers, right?
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You make this move when you think you can compete with the Cavs, the Warriors, and you think that if you trade for Paul Millsap, you're going to win an NBA title. They're not there. You know, if they got Kevin Durant in the summer and now Paul Millsap was available, then make the trade because then you could probably go win a title with Paul Millsap, Kevin Durant in the crowd.
Right.
But you don't do that now because then it's a waste of your assets to give Atlanta something for someone that's not going to be here long term. It's fun to watch, but you don't need to do that.
All right. So although we didn't get, unfortunately, and I'm surprised, this is a pretty good show going back and forth with Jared here. We didn't get any phone call tonight, but I just have to read it anyways. The Movement Watches call lines, of course, is brought to you by Movement Watches. Movement Watches, while department stores start at $400 or $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing those savings directly to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable, starting at just $95. Go to mvmtwatches.com/CelticsB for 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's mvmtwatches.com/CelticsB. Jared, any final thoughts on this Celtics win over the Wizards, 117-108, before they go over to Atlanta on Friday night to take on the Hawks, who, believe it or not, are breathing down the Celtics' neck right now in the Eastern Conference. They're in fourth.
Everybody in the Eastern Conference is breathing down their necks. It's not like it's that far apart. Right.
It's like my fantasy league. That's what it looks like.
Oh, I wish it was that close to my fantasy league. look, I overall think this is still a good win despite it being against a bad team, right? They coming off a back-to-back. It's a tough loss last night. You know, we sit here and talk about it, and this team has resiliency. They have to play hard every night. And this is a good gut check for them. They didn't fall out. They got the win, and now Friday's game doesn't mean, like, losing the 3 seed to the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I'm intrigued by Friday. Al Horford makes his return to Atlanta, so that'll be good. You know, he plays. But it was a good win tonight to kind of build off of that. And you don't want – because think about how bad of a taste it would be in your mouth, Josue, if you lost last night the way you did to the Toronto Raptors. Then you come home against the Wizards team you should beat and then lose like you would have lost if you did lose the game. And now have to go on the road to Atlanta, a team that's breathing down your necks. It wouldn't have been a good taste. So tonight was definitely a big win.
Does Al Horford get a video tribute? He has to, right? He was there long enough.
He is Mr. Atlanta Hawk nowadays. Like
yes.
He probably still. Everyone in Atlanta probably still thinks he's on the Hawks because no one goes to those games. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of Horford jerseys.
Atlanta is not a sports town. Atlanta's terrible. We could probably go buy a ticket for like a dollar and go to the game. Like.
I love the fact that his father kind of like called their crowd out when he spoke to, I think it was, I may be wrong, I think it was the Boston Globe, where he told the Boston Globe that, like, oh yeah, you know, in last year's playoff run, Al called me and was like, yeah, man, like, you know, Boston's amazing. Like, these guys were getting ready to be eliminated, and everyone in the crowd hasn't even left the game yet. They're cheering. They're saying, let's go Celtics, you know, giving them a standing ovation. Meanwhile, we're crushing the Celtics in Atlanta, and half the seats aren't even full. You know, I thought that was funny that his pops went out.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah,
no, I love it.
Put him under the bus.
It was great.
But it makes them look themselves in the mirror, right? I mean, if you're Atlanta, you just think to yourself, you know what, maybe he's right, you know, instead of thinking the other way and saying, like, you know, screw out Horford for bouncing on us. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, you know what?
They don't care, right? They don't
Come on,
care.
Atlanta. Get it together, Atlanta. Come on, you have a decent team. It's not like these guys suck, you know? And they're a consistent playoff
team. They don't care about the football team either.
Yeah, that's true. Got one hell of a quarterback down there in Atlanta. What do they care about over there? Partying, huh?
Yeah, they care about partying and the sun and gang banging and stuff. Who knows?
All kind of stuff, right?
That's not sports.
They got a good nightlife down there, so maybe they're more intrigued by that than their sports team. Anyways, the Celtics defeat the Wizards 117-108. That's a score for one final time. The Celtics now improved to 24-15, still in that third seed. The Atlanta Hawks are a game and a half behind the Celtics here. Celtics improved to 11-6 at home. And I'm hearing an echo, but that's all good. I'll take a sign, all right? As they'll head to Atlanta before getting a nice break. They get the weekend off after Friday, and that's going to be good for them, for this team that apparently has just been bitten by the injury bug big time this week. That's going to do it for this post-game show. This post-game show will be available on demand by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Make sure to follow CLNS Radio on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us at Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSFans. Also, www.ESPNRadioNewHampshire.com. Check those guys out over there, of course, and at ESPNNH on Twitter and /ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free now by going to www.ziprecruiter.com/sportsfans. Also, Blue Apron, you can head over to blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. And also our good friends at MBMT at MBMTwatches.com/Celtics. Head over there where you can sign up for 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, and as well as Audible at audiblepodcast.com. Try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Nick Sustento. Joshua Morse wants to thank today's caller and everyone, or we lack of any callers. See, I shouldn't even read that, but I'm so used to getting callers here. We're always getting callers, man. This is the first time on this show we didn't get a single caller. But damn it, why did I read that? All right, anyways. My boy Jared Scally, man, this is a great show. Always fun to do with Jared Scally. Check him out on Twitter at jscalradio18. You can find me on Twitter at joe_sway110. Also, check me out on the Green Street blog at weei.com. Also, CausewayStreetBlog.com. You can also check out our podcast as well as at Causeway Street. Check us out on iTunes and all those other fun places where you can go and get your Celtics podcast listening on.
Man, speaking of podcasts, you get around with the Celtics there, big guy.
I try, man. I try to go. I'm like a Celtics media whore, so to speak, I guess. I try to get around.
I was on the radio a lot. I thought I was doing crazy stuff. Jeez.
That's the way we do it, right, Jared? You know, it's not just one outlet. We're all over the place. And speaking of which, the newest episode of the WEEI Celtics podcast will feature me and the host of the Celtics podcast, Ben Kitchen. So you want to check that out. It's going to be released tomorrow. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network Nick Gelso, and my co-host, once again, Jared Scally. I'm Josue Pavone. See everyone back here on Friday night when the Celtics take on the Hawks in Atlanta. Good night, everyone. Have a good one.